StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany. Today, I have another interview together with our sponsor, Invest in Hessen via Hessen Trade Invest. Thank you for the support, and we are talking to René. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. Nice to meet you. Thanks for the invitation.
Totally my pleasure. We have to tell our audience, it's not the first time that you're in one of my podcasts. I vividly remember back in 2012, 9 years ago, I was starting a German only podcast together with a co-host, and you've been our first guest. Nobody had a clue how a podcast should work, and fortunately the audio never got published.
Yeah, I remember that episode, and it was a really a fun episode, and we could all learn from that. And yeah, I can't really imagine that it's already so long ago.
Yeah, it's incredible. And our audience who's following us for quite some time, they may know your CTO, Mario, who has been a guest in the past, I think, 2, 3, 4 times. And he's also a member of the usual suspects for the annual FinTech Review, which will be published again this year on the 25th of December. So you got something to hear during our Christmas and New Year's break. Sorry. All the advertisement got out of the way. So you guys are from FastBill. You are the founder of FastBill. And I was looking at it, and you guys founded FastBill back in 2007, before even fintech was a thing. And yeah, Right now, you're one of the top three providers of invoicing and accounting software for small enterprises and freelancers. How did this get started, and how did you become a top three provider there? we may add a top three provider in Germany, right?
Yeah. And this is hard enough to get to. Actually 2007 was the time when we didn't do any software, specific software company. I was running an IT agency and had a good network with other guys that wanted to create nice software for clients. And we found out that there is a new trend coming up, which was called online portals or online services. And we at this time we started several projects at once. So a shopping platform, like early SaaS platforms, and FastBill was one of them, where we put our own pains and problems that we had with our companies into a solution that we really needed ourselves. And this was back then something we just needed to track time and bill the time to clients. So this was something that was really very painful, because it was all based on Word, Excel, and not mobile, not collaborative with team members. So this was something we wanted to build. But it took us another 4 years from then to really start the company, FastBill, the FastBill company. So we started off pretty early we call ourselves always the pioneers, one of the pioneers of SaaS in Germany. In 2011, Christian and me, we quit our jobs and did a full-time FastBill product development. So, and this was something pretty new, and there was no real, beside angel investments we got, there was no real investment opportunity. So we needed to be a bootstrapped company for several years, as well as many others that started during the years. I think something that made us very special is that we always had a very close connection to customers and listened to their needs and really talked to them very closely and tried to understand what their really real problem was. We managed to grow constantly and did good products. We have two products right now. One is the invoicing and accounting platform for small businesses and solopreneurs, which is very successful. And we have another product that is doing subscription billing for subscription businesses. So this is also something we did on the way. Today, I'd say that besides like two other players, we are one of the biggest names in the German speaking market, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. We do have customers in 13 other European countries. Although since we have an English language version, although we did not really focus on expand in those markets. So you see, it's a big demand. It's still a big problem, and the market is still very. After 10 years, it's still at the beginning. There are millions of possible customers, and only a few of them have a solution like FastBill.
And I remember that you at least tapped your toes a little bit into Brazil, as well as took a serious look into the United States. But this was no venture you seriously started, right?
Yeah, we got the opportunity to look into like the US market with a German accelerator back then, and also to look into the Brazil market. Because one of our like team members moved to Brazil and started to research, and I mean the U.S. market was pretty quick. It was clear that this is too much of a of an investment for a small company like ours. But the Brazil was very interesting. The Brazil market, because the need of electronic invoicing was growing pretty rapidly, and they just introduced ways how to like electronically do invoicing and get paid better. So we get good traction, and then needed to decide if we want to continue this path. And as I said, as a small company without any venture funding at this point in time, it wasn't really doable to approach such a big market without spending a lot of money and going down there as a founder to do that firsthand. So we had to decide to stop it in Brazil, even if it was very interesting. But we weren't able to focus on two markets at this point in time. So yeah, it was a great approach, and maybe I will like repeat this kind of market research in the future again, but. For us, it wasn't early enough to go in a totally different market.
Yeah, it's always actually when you're small in your home country and you expand to another country, you're basically risking the complete company. That's always a big gamble. I can understand why you didn't do that. Later, was it like in 2018, 2019, fintech was really getting hot, like finance and accounting software. And then you raised actually VC money from FinLab and Comparion, which is a subsidiary of KfW.
Correct. Yeah, it was from today's perspective, it was really a little bit too long. To doing like bootstrapping mode and then raising venture capital. It was something that when we found out that this is getting more trendy, more hot, the topic, we were like talking to VCs right away, and the interest was pretty overwhelming. But I mean, after 6 years of bootstrapping, you really had to manage a lot of real estate in the company, as I was call it, like products and so on. So it is something I would recommend doing earlier if possible. But in our case, we could do it. We could do the next step and raise a couple of million euros to grow the team, to grow the company, and to scale marketing channels and so on. So it was a great opportunity, and I mean, it brought us to the place where we are right now. So I think it was a good step to go, and the partners were very good as well. They were like long-term oriented. They knew how accounting world runs. So it's not comparable to a online shoe market, for example. It's something that's taking much more like strategic approaches, higher, it has higher customer retention, but also you need to convince the people to give your their financial data. They are like their existence is connected to. So it's something. Sometimes you need to have an understanding of the investors that this is a real deep shit for the customers. So.
It's not like the typical VC. They tell you, okay, you can do that in 1 year if I give you 5 million. Let's try it in three months and I give you 15 million. Not that kind of VC, right?
Right. I mean, for us, it was very important to get connections for example, the bank industry out of the VC network as well. It wasn't just the money that we wanted to get. It was also, our thesis were, for example, partnering with big banks will bring us customers for a lower price. So we tried to get a VC out of the fintech industry. And also we had some, you never know how scalable each marketing channel is. So you need to find people that believe in going together for a longer time. And this is what we definitely found here. It was they always wanted to understand why things happen and how the business model is. So this is something I really like. Partly financial perspective.
Yeah, that's also one of the lessons we get on a very regular basis here. Not all investors are alike, even though the money is most likely. We are talking here because you guys got bought completely all equity by FreshBooks, which is also, I do believe, in the area of accounting, a unicorn based in Canada, in Toronto. And they already bought a fintech in Mexico back in 2020, and now they're expanding to Europe in 2021. How did this deal happen? Because it's time of Corona, and I'm not supposing you just flew over to Toronto and knocked on the door. Hey guys, how's it going?
Yeah, it was a crazy year or 1.5 years looking from now. So it was definitely something that wasn't completely planned this way from day one. We were definitely like thinking pretty openly how to grow the company in 1 year ago, and we were like already a profitable company, so we were not in a rush in a way. So, but we thought, okay, so the competition is not sleeping. They know what they do. They are like do very good, business. So how can we leverage our long experience and our great talent and great product even more besides the profitable growth and the channels we established. And I thought, maybe it's something that is based on a strategic partnership. And as I already said, we always believed in some kind of strategic partnerships, for example, with banks or with insurance companies or with others. And I thought maybe it is the right time to think about, changing something in the shareholder structure, so we have somebody on board that really can push us even more with more resources and more not only financial resources but also manpower and structure and whatever. So we did at first a market sounding, finding out if people really value what we have and can bring extra value to us. So we had a lot of talks about with possible partners, and we decided that we definitely need some partner that is in the same business, like in the accounting business, and playing in the global game. And we knew the FreshBooks team already at this point of time. We met them in Vancouver at a congress a couple of years ago. And we've already talked to Matt, who's SVP in corporate development at FreshBooks, and Mike, the founder of FreshBooks. We already knew, had the connection, and we already, they already asked us, if you do something like fundraising, just let us know. So yeah, we talked to them and we found out that this was a perfect time, like talking about this kind of partnership, because FreshBooks just started to roll out their global expansion, and we really were looking for a powerful like lever for our potential. So we had really good talks from day one, and we found that the culture, the strategy, the values are really matching up perfectly. So it was very, very clear that we want to do that. And I mean, for me, it wasn't necessary to sell every share of the company. But I mean, this was something FreshBooks was part of their strategy. So we decided on doing that. And now we are also like received a part of the, like acquisition amount in FreshBooks equity. So we continue like, we are still on board, we can profit by the value increase of the whole company. And since they are a unicorn already, this is very interesting.
So that means it's most likely you, Mario, which our audience already knows, and Benjamin. You guys, you three guys, get some equity in FreshBooks and stay on board?
We definitely stay on board. This was the main like thing that they needed us to approve, and we definitely never said we want to go out. So this matched. So we wanted to follow the vision still, and don't like jump off in any way. So we wanted to be part of the success, the overall success. And we do have the other shareholders that also sold their shares are also now part of the shareholders of FreshBooks. So we have this operational team, as you said, Mario, Benjamin, and me. And we have the ex-Fastbill shareholders who are now like exited the company and also got a couple of shares.
I know, because we discussed it before, you've forbidden from talking about the price tag. But according to my understanding, you always said you have mid seven digit revenue. You have to publish a balance sheet, but that doesn't include a P&L. So I don't have anything other than assuming 5 millions with normal multiples from 15 to 20 times the acquisition price. Cash and equity together should be somewhere around 75 to 100 million. Is that approximately correct?
I would really love to give more, like say something like a yes-ish or yes or no, or maybe, but like as part of the deal, we decided not to disclose any financials because there is a expansion strategy going on, and this would really make like give some kind of disadvantages if some financials would be public. For now, I just can say people can calculate what they think, what is real, and this is where I really thanks for understanding that we don't disclose that.
Mm-hmm. When we talked before, because we're now looking a little bit about the future, and you said something very nice. I assume it's from FreshBooks. They told you local heroes stay on board.
Yeah. I mean, maybe to explain a bit why for FreshBooks this is such a good deal. And this also like gives a good like helps us with getting a good valuation. As I said, the German market in accounting is not very easy. So we have millions of small companies here, but still after 10 years now, I would consider just like all of the players with including us, we covered. Let's say, I don't know, maybe not even 10% of the market. So it's really hard to create a product that is really fitting the needs and matching all the boundaries we have in Germany, like bank connection, accountant software, and so on. For a company that is like from, especially from North America, they don't really see themselves able to just go growing organically in markets like Germany, but also like other European countries, France, Benelux, Scandic countries. So they can't just use their product and sell it in Germany. So it's very important for such a company to find the local heroes that know how it's going on here, how you can really make customers happy and bring the technology that really works since years along with into the deal. So this is what their interest was, find somebody who can really extend their the growth and their success into markets they would not approach on their own. And this is why it was important for us to be very independent, to work what we know will be successful, to do like our autonomous decisions. And also for FreshBooks, it was very important that we do that, that we stay here, that we are incentivized, that we are really happy to be part of this global family. And this is what I think is a perfect match now.
Fortunately, you got bought by a Canadian company. I've once heard Canadians being described as the polite version of American, so that should be pretty good for company culture. As you already said, there are some expansion plans there, many things are different for companies either based in the US, Canada, or even France for that, because PSD2 is something pretty similar. There's data protection which is similar, but taxing and tax regulations, oh my God, my toenail is just rolling back just thinking about that here in Germany. I had to take one course in taxation back in college here in Germany, and I vividly remember the last row in the script of the professor, good tax advisors in Germany are very lonely people. Do you have anything to add there, and how are you going to help FreshBooks to expand here in Europe?
I mean, you can definitely say there are some European specific boundaries and rules that are like making Europe special in comparison to the North America or Australia or even Asia. But in Europe, we do have some rules that are pretty similar. Like, for example, EU tax VAT rules or e-invoicing, for example. So those are the things that really help us to look into different markets, like starting off from Germany. When I look to the Italian e-invoicing, this is very, very understandable from our perspective. But for North America, it's very different. So this is something that really makes unifies some of the countries here. But in addition to that, we do have more complications, more specific things in Germany. As you just mentioned, tax regulations. And when I think about tax regulations, is also the gatekeepers that are involved here. Like, usually in Germany, every company has an accountant or an accountant, tax advisor, where accountants are really doing the work. We don't have such a big culture of bookkeepers that really do your books and help you out. You need to pay the accountant office, which is not very easy, because those guys are really doing like hard tax work, and they are not like sitting in your office, and they are not cheap and so on. So you need to bridge some gap between yourself as a small company or as a like fresh founder who has no idea about accounting, about tax rules, and the professional that is really taking 80 euros an hour to do that, but you don't know what she or he is doing and why and so on. So there's a there's a big gap, and then there is the software. There is with Datev is a big I think 80% or 90% of the market is covered by Datev. So you need to access this ecosystem as well. which is not always easy. We are partnering with Dativ since 5 years or so now. And this is very special to understand. There were not always good documentations about Dativ interfaces. So it's something you need to know. And PSD2 is the next big thing. How can I access bank information? That's a totally different game than in the US or in Canada. So yeah, I would say it's very special. And when I started the company, I was very startup minded, like move fast, break things. But now it's a different thing because I always think, okay, you need to have the correct like contacts. You need to talk to the right people. You need to do it right. Accounting is something that cannot be done just 80%. It needs to be done 100%. So this is something we learned on the way here.
We may, just one detail we may explain to everybody who's not from Germany what DATEV is. That is your means to exchange tax data, more or less. It's a German
software
standard
that tax advisors use for their daily business, and we need to put data into their system. That's right. So this is the interface that everybody has to connect to.
Oh, that is very, very exciting. An interface which is already boring for taxes. Ooh, I think we reached a low point. Let's change topics and talk a little bit about the local ecosystem, since this is sponsored by Invest in Hessen. First thought I had about this, there are now some exits. What comes to mind is like Kobe Bike already a few years ago, Crossings. Well, which we covered almost exclusively, you guys, they all had cash events. So meaning the first generation, now they got some money, they are going to invest. And I think you are likely to do as well. And what do you think about the importance of those people for the ecosystem?
I mean, it's... for me, it's always important not to move to a certain city in order to be a successful entrepreneur. It's something you need to be like, you need, I think you always need to choose yourself where you want to live and work and what you work. So, living in Frankfurt, I decided to go to Frankfurt when I was starting my first business because the ecosystem was very friendly in those days. It was more about how to get good, projects and jobs and get paid well by clients. This was something Berlin was not very interesting for me because nobody wanted to pay me. they just wanted to get the work done. So it was for me it was the right place to start. And I think we had a lot of help during those first years. We wouldn't without those. Like envisioning business angels, I wouldn't call them, like I would call them co-founders slash early business angels. We wouldn't have made it. So it was very, very important to find an IT culture with people that wanted to build successful companies. But today, maybe it's something that, and I learned that it's very important also for me to help other people now to start off and get successful. First step is not always the money. It's the mentoring aspect here and giving experiences. But also there will be necessity for giving out money, since today we have a software dominated world. If you need to run any workflow, even if you sell like things, I'm just standing in front of this great Stansom extension for my work desk here. And this is, even if you have physical products, you need software to get the business started. And when you're not the tech guy, you need to have tech guys to do the first version of your software. So this takes a little bit of money at least to get started and prove that your business is doing good and that you have a good product market fit. And this is something that really I think is very, very important in such an ecosystem. And today, I would like to do that help that I received 10 years ago by people that really were very visionary because there wasn't really a startup ecosystem back then. It's also important for us. It was also important for us to receive research funding, which we received, like almost €1 million we received as some kind of subsidy research fund by Hessen Agentur. This was very important, and I think this is this was a great aspect. On the other hand, it's not always easy to get to the great founders and find the great companies when you want to like get involved in any way. So there is place for improvement, I would say, for people that have knowledge and money to get connected to the really engaged founders, and this is something I definitely need to look into right now.
So that means people can approach you. You are going to mentor and to invest. That is pretty good news for the ecosystem. What will you be investing in? Fintech, accounting software?
I would say, I mean, I have a little split relationship to fintech, to be honest, because for me, like creating easy to use products that do a real value always need to be very easy and understandable. I think for accounting, it's always nice to make things easier and simpler. Also, if you like, for example, Autada, who did the reading software for the ID cards, this is something that's really easy to understand. When we talk about other fintechs like trading or crypto, those are the things that I would say it's even hard for me to find out if there's a real value for customers. And to transporting that to the right audience is again very hard. So this is the part of fintech where I really are always a little hesitant to help, because those are very very visionary business models, and I'm always looking at how can I really help find solutions for real existing problems. And this is where I would like to focus on. Well, like if there's a problem, let's find a solution.
I think I know some people you should talk to.
Hopefully.
That said, did it help or hurt you to be headquartered in Frankfurt? Because my understanding is, yes, there are a lot of big companies around here. A lot of international companies are headquartered here, especially most people don't realize it, but LG and Samsung, they are around here, their German headquarter. Procter & Gamble is really big in this area. Plus the usual suspects here, chemical companies, the banks, insurers, the airport. So a lot of big companies, and I assume like in the everything they are doing, they hire smaller companies. So that would mean a big local market opportunity for you guys as well.
I think it's I would say the bigger opportunities for us came because we didn't have so much competition as a startup. Like, for example, finding good talent was something that was relatively, easier than trying to recruit in the Berlin area, since our competitors in recruiting were mostly agencies, big agencies, where people need to work the weekend through. And this is something where we could be better. Or banks, where people, like, they earn more money than with our company or with startups in general, but they usually don't do such a purpose-driven work that they can do with Fastbill or other companies. So the competition, we could really position ourselves in recruiting to be better and different than other players, which is always good if you don't have so many great startups in the area. So this is something that might become harder now. Also, as I said, the research funding, you can apply and you relatively easy get the subsidy and get the money for free. So this is something maybe that's harder in other spaces. But from a perspective of like acquiring clients or strategic partnership, I would have expected more, since our approach was to do bank strategic partnerships with banks. And they are in Frankfurt, but this wasn't something that really worked out as I imagined. So I would say this is not something that really helped in our case, Maybe if you do like a KYC startup or something else, this would be maybe better, but not in our case. And what I think, what is definitely needed here, and I met Mario through the startup community events that we have here. I met Benjamin through the same connections here. So, meeting great people to share a vision and to work together, it's definitely possible in Frankfurt. Many people are not easy with quitting their bank job because this is so well paid in order to do a big vision startup. This is something where I would say if you don't get so much paid as maybe in Berlin, it's easier for you to quit and do something else. So I think from the perspective of doing something real, it's something where you can find a better community, and there's not so much bullshit bingo around here, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Last question, because we're already running at almost 40 minutes by now, recording time. If you just would have one opportunity right here to ask for change in politics, talking about the state of Hessen government, what would it be and why?
Locally, I would definitely ask for more awareness regarding initiatives that are done for startups, like bringing people together. There are already a few initiatives, and I think this podcast is a very good example that there is a very successful startup initiative from around the corner. But still, it's not that the startup scene is like jumping on me when I go out on the street. And this is something I would really like to have. If I want to help companies or I want to get co-founders, I need to search. And this is something that really can be improved by making it more attractive to start initiative, get together, funding events, and whatever it needs to be. Why don't we have a yearly great startup congress here? That could be something really helpful. Besides that, and this is not just a state issue, it's really still hard to have employees be part of your company and get a big upside when exiting the company. And this is something what I learned is too complicated to give out stock options and have people have people paid without paying so many taxes when they worked their ass off in the last years. So this is something that really needs to be improved, because as a founder, when you have a company that is a couple of years old and need to find engaged people, you need to give them stock options in order to have them on board. And this is something where we don't have such a good option right now.
Ooh, and that are almost 40 minutes right now in recording. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you, even though I know with your experience we could have talked for a few more hours. but maybe we'll do this at another point in time. Thank you very much. It was just a pleasure talking to you, and looking forward what news come out of FastBill for the next years.
Thank you, Joe, for having me. It was a pleasure, and I'm very looking forward to the fintech how's it called on the 25th of December, the
annual fintech review by Startup Radio.
Oh, this is so great. I love that so much.
Great, thank you very much. It was just a pleasure.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.